Coming up on today's episode, we look back at the rough weekend for the Jets, plus look ahead to a pair of litmus test matchups in Winnipeg this week.
Hello, everybody. Recording live from somewhere.
What's good and welcome to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki. You can follow me on Twitter at Brandon_Rewicki or the podcast at Skates Plates Pod. All right. Well, that sucked. That was not a good weekend whatsoever for the hockey club. I guess we got to break it down here with CJOB's Tyson Rewicki. I'm not going to lie, Tyson, before I even ask you how your weekend was, I don't know if you did this or not, but I did peek at the playoff line just to make sure that things were going to be okay. I think the Jets are going to be okay there, but I also took a peek at where Nashville's at because I know they're picking up points every single night. A little bit closer than I would like, but it's pretty hard not to think worst case scenario after what we saw. Specifically in Long Island, but then followed up by another loss to the Capitals, a near disastrous road trip for the Jets, now owners of three straight losses. Yeah, never good when you're talking about grabbing the division title to start the week and then ending the week praying that we don't fall into a wild card spot. But that's where we're at, and we'll break down if the panic is certified or if the Jets deserve a little bit of a, you know, benefit of the doubt as we head into the final 10, 11 games of the season for the club. But Tyson, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I mean, it was a little bit of a... Each day on the weekend started a little rough, right? Like, that's the only crappy thing about those afternoon games. It's either you're hyped up going in, especially on Saturday, and you're all pumped up, or what happens, and then you're depressed all weekend.
Yeah. Well, yeah, my little one decided this cute new thing of I'm going to get up at 5:15, 5:30 every night or every morning just to see how that goes. So it's like combine that with then shellacking after shellacking by the Jets. I'm in a bit of a rough spot, I'm not going to lie. The one good thing was I absolutely nailed the cook on the ribs that I made over the weekend. Ooh. That was the actual lone bright spot of the weekend. Other than that, though, it was a complete disaster. But I was able to mount all of my energy and focus into those ribs, and it paid off so much.
Are you a Memphis, like, is that how it goes? Memphis style or like Texas style, or what are we doing?
Well, like in terms of barbecue?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't bother making my own rub, mainly because I don't have time, and I'm getting up at 5 in the morning now, so it's like, this was a little more Texas style, Texas style, for those that don't know, is salt and pepper, let the meat shine sort of a deal. So the rub I had was like basically that, and then like a little bit of garlic too, which goes great on everything. A little bit of liquid smoke to like, you know, mirror it being in a smoker. I had to cook it in my oven, and a little bit of smoky barbecue sauce too. So I like all styles. I'm a little more, I think with my ribs, I like them a little smokier, and then like pulled pork, that's where I'll go a little more like Carolina vinegar.
Nice.
But yeah, I was pretty ecstatic.
I was just gonna say, like, pork ribs are good, but I like beef ribs too.
Yeah, like beef shore rib is that might be the king right there.
Yeah, like it's no matter what kind of ribs you're eating, you're having a good meal. Like, there's just no, I don't know, I've only had beef and pork ribs, but I can assume the whole animal kingdom is pretty tasty in that regard.
I guess so. I never thought of it that way. unfortunately, the Jets were picked clean right down to the bone over the weekend. That's pretty good. That was a pretty saucy segue. And I did it again.
Bar.
So I don't know if you know army terms or anything like that, Tice. Are you familiar with DEFCON?
Of course.
So actually, DevCon, I found I was corrected on air once. I turns out I knew nothing about it. but it starts, I think it's DevCon 3, 2, 1. It actually goes down. So DevCon 1 is like, oh my gosh, nuclear war. DevCon 3 is a little bit more milder. Where are we at in terms of the jets and the panic scale? Is this full-on DEFCON 1 mode? Everything's falling. Let's try to head to a bunker. Or could you extract any optimism after the disaster that it's been these past couple of weeks, really? And all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, the division title seems to be basically a foregone conclusion. It's heading over to Colorado or Dallas.
I would say it's DEFCON 2, but whoever's moving the lever, they're itching. Like, they're getting close to pushing it up to one. Because, like, I mean, the only – you mentioned that they've struggled the past couple weeks, but even going back to, like, January, like, this team's record's pretty close to right around 500 or just, like, obviously it's over 500, but not too far over 500.
Yeah, not too much.
Like, it's the only kind of solace that I think you can have right now is that we've seen this team play up to their potential earlier in the season. And I might be sounding a lot like what we said last year, but I feel like this team's a lot deeper than they were obviously last year, which is obviously true. No matter which way you put it. I think that, I mean, Monahan and Dubois are probably pretty equal this year. And then you add on all the guys they've added so far in depth additions. But what scares me the most heading into a playoff series right now is the second D pair. And having to rely on those guys for maybe 18 minutes a night to 18 to 20 minutes a night, like, you can't have those games like that second pair had against the Islanders. Like, oh boy, that is not what you wanted.
That was shocking. Yeah.
And it was like in the first period, you kind of were like, oh, well, you know, the first goal, Namestnikov tried to get it to Pionk. It wasn't a great pass. It kind of put him – the first one, I don't blame on Pionk. I think he kind of got put in a tough spot with where the puck went off his skate. And then it was a scramble. All right. We'll give you the benefit of the doubt on that. After that, though, it was just – and it wasn't even just the goals where there were obviously a bunch of blunders on their part, but it was the zone exits – just the play with the puck where it looks like they didn't even care to play that game. And I went back and watched some highlights from Pionk when he was with the Rangers. And that, you know, I think we all remember kind of that end to end goal that he had. It started with the spinorama. And you just wonder, like, where's this guy? Like, what happened? It just seems like there's a lack of confidence with the puck right now. And he hasn't been playing great over the last couple weeks, but it really culminated in this weekend here, especially in the Islanders game. And it's, you know, that we have seen his play elevate come playoff time. So hopefully that's a trend that continues. But I mean, after watching that, you've got to be very concerned in that regard.
Well, I don't disagree with any of that, Tyson. There was concern all over the place.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I mean, the second pair is definitely going to be – I mean, and we knew that going into the deadline, right? Talking about what the Jets maybe should do, shouldn't do, where can they strengthen, where can they maybe hold on internally. You know, I got to say, for me, you said DEFCON 2?
Yeah, but it's like right below the line between DEFCON 1 and DEFCON 2.
Yeah, I think I'm at like 1.2. it's my main problem, and it's why I'm for the first time this year starting to get a little worried that this is deja vu all over again, last year to this year, is just where's the accountability with this team? You know, we saw Brendan Dillon with a little bit of a dose of that after the Devils game, you know, coming out forcefully, full of anger, full of F-bombs. That was, you know, in a way, a good thing to see after a game like that. But to follow that up with one of the worst efforts any team will have this season was beyond shock. I mean, 25-5. outshot 5-1 midway through the second. It's a shameful performance by the Jets there, just completely unprepared to play it, unwilling to match the pace and the energy that, albeit a desperate Islanders team, was able to throw out there. It was just night and day. And yeah, the Islanders have some talent, all that. But you shouldn't be outclassed to that degree, where it was basically a miracle for the team to get over the red line there. It just feels like, with this recent stretch, like, what's the punishment? What's the price to pay here? I mean, it took until the absolute utter debacle of that first half of the Islanders game for the Jets to finally move Kyle Connor off the top line, right? And then it was, okay, let's try to mix some pairings here and there. But the Pionk Dylan pairing that you touched on in that game and even against the Capitals, no need to touch that. The Jets have not shaken up their decor basically at all this entire season, which for the most part, they've been extremely dependable in terms of how they play and all that. But it's like, are we just going to allow this to happen? Right? Like, I feel like the coaching staff needs to know that what's going on here is completely unacceptable and nowhere near the level of standard that they had displayed earlier on in the season. It just feels like there's almost, what's the right word? It's not arrogance, but it feels like this team, and it goes from management to coaching staff to players, that we're talented and we're going to figure this out. Like, no need to worry here. We don't need to change a whole lot. We're going to be okay.
And I just want to iterate, like, it's nonchalant. And then when it gets to the point of when it's a player or a coach coming out and really saying something, the way when I see, like, what the Dylan quote was, or when Bones mentioned it a couple weeks ago, it almost seems panicky in a way. Do you know what I mean? Like, instead of like, hey, like, I'm holding you guys accountable here. You guys need to smarten up in this. Instead, it's like, oh boy, like, I don't know how we're going to figure this out, but we got to figure it out ASAP. Like, that, and that's worrying. Like, it seems like the message isn't coming across confident. I don't know if that bleeds into the locker room that way, but it's just, whenever the coach or team has said something like this over the past 2 years, it hasn't instilled confidence in me that this group's going to be able to do it.
Well, and the reason I say that, Tyson, is that the Jets, maybe more so than a lot of the other upper echelon teams, depend so much on structure as a five-man unit. Like, when they play their game, they're right up there with the best in the league. There's no doubt about it. But Colorado, for example, can maybe loosey-goosey it a little bit. You know, Florida doesn't necessarily do that, but the Panthers could maybe get a little, we can go a little helter-skelter here and we're going to figure things out. The Jets, as currently constructed, are not capable of that, because that was the Devils game. That was the Islanders game. It was the third period of the Capitals game, where a brutal line change late in the third period basically just allows the high-end players for the Capitals to just mosey on in and take their time and pick a spot against Connor Hellebuck, right? Like, it's there's very little margin for error with this Jets team. They have high-end skill, there's no doubt about it, but there really isn't that secondary level of skill that a lot of these other cup contender teams do have. And I just feel like right now the standard is slipping a lot further than where it needs to be. And my concern is that they're not going to be able to get back to that moment. And how do they get back to that? And I mean, how do you do that when, and I'm sorry, we got to do the Connor Ehlers thing again, but how can you do that when Kyle Connor doesn't give a rat's ass about playing defense, knowing that he's going to get his 19, 20 minutes a night? Knowing that it's basically going to take the worst possible game for the team to have him finally removed from Mark Scheifele's back, who's been carrying him all season. The same goes with that second pair that you touched on there, right? Where Nate Schmidt's been great on the third pair all season. You bring in Colin Miller to potentially play some significant minutes for your team. and there's no need to make a response after a couple of brutal games by your team.
Why get right? calling Miller then? Like, why?
Yeah, I don't think it's panicking. I think it's just reacting to what's been pretty open and transparent to everybody watching the Jets for the past handful of weeks now, that there needs to be a wake-up call here. And maybe it takes place when Bones gets behind the bench again. Maybe, you know, looking at this optimistically, like maybe this was, hey, the substitute teacher's behind the bench. We can do whatever we want here. I don't know. If
that's
Bones,
not good either, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good, but whatever. You know, we'll see what Bones has up his sleeve here, but I don't know. I feel like this Jets team is very reluctant to mete out any sort of discipline, right? Unless it's Nicole Perfetti. Like, I don't know. It's kind of bizarre to me that you know, other teams will hold their players accountable when the standards slip and the game is not being performed to the best of their capabilities. And it's not like it's a, oh my gosh, we've lost the dressing room, the team collapses sort of a deal. It's just, yeah, we got to be better. Let's move on here. That doesn't happen here. And I think this is a major, major wake-up call for the team. Maybe coming at the perfect time with Edmonton Vegas coming to town here. Maybe not. We'll see how this plays out. But I'll tell you what, if you want to sleepwalk through Jersey, the Islanders, and the Capitals and think, hey, we'll just figure it out against Edmonton Vegas here, it's going to be five straight losses really quickly. And then we have some very, very difficult conversations to have after that. So I was just really disappointed with, I mean, obviously the performance and the response against the Islanders. The Capitals game it was okay. I just don't think that's a very good Washington team. I don't know. It was just, expect better from the Jets. Their lofty goal is compete for a cup. That was a bubble playoff team we saw on the weekend. And it's going to be very difficult to turn that around in the span of, you know, 2 to 3 weeks here with the playoffs on the horizon here and clearly Colorado and Dallas rounding into four.
Well, and you mentioned measuring stick earlier on. Like, this is where you see what this team can be made of. Like, you have this stigma behind you that when the games get hard and as the season goes on, you kind of fold. Like, this is where your opportunity to rewrite some narratives. And if this team, you know, doesn't come out with the jump or doesn't come out with the fire that they had, not even just in these two games ahead, but come playoff time, then there's some serious questions that need to be addressed about this team and how it's going to be constructed going forward, because there are some very clear, very clear issues on this team that keep on popping up over and over again. Stuff doesn't get done about it. You know, eventually something is going to be done, and you just hope that it's not overreacting to an overreaction, but an underreaction throughout the season and throughout years now. Like, it's, and you worry if that's kind of almost bred a mentality among some players on this team where, like you mentioned, it's just, hey, I'm going to go out there and get 20 minutes a night regardless. Like, I'm going to get mine. You know, I'm going to get my three shots on the box score and get a couple points. You know, like, that's going to be a problem come playoff time. And it's shown with the top players, with the bottom six. Like, there wasn't a guy last year that really stood out besides Adam Lowry in the forward group. And then, I mean, Blake Wheeler had a good game, and I believe it was game five. I think that game he really kind of put his – or game four, sorry. But, like, it was – it's worrying. And the only kind of confidence that you can get from this is that they can rewrite a narrative. And if they're able to rewrite those narratives, then this is a different team, and this is going to push them and make them better come playoff time. But if it doesn't, if they just fall back the way that things have been going the past couple of years, well, then – no more excuses. This team has said that they want to put a cup-winning team out there. They want to bring fans back into the building. Well, just mediocre playoff appearance after mediocre playoff appearance isn't going to do that. It's just not. So it's time to dig deep or find some answers elsewhere.
It would just be so disappointing to have the season play out like it did last year. Like, I just, I didn't think, I thought this was a different team. And they still can be, right? Like, there's still enough time with 11 games left to avoid a complete collapse here. I will say that. I would be pretty devastated. I thought this was the year. It's weird too, Tyson, because just quickly, it's not even a case of the team's top guys not delivering. Like, as of right now, for me, Scheifele is not to blame. Morrissey is not to blame. Hellebuck didn't play great over the past couple games, but he's obviously not to blame with the Vezina Trophy likely coming his way this year. Like, the top guys are holding their own. It's the ones just below that that we need to see a lot more from over the next handful of games here, and we'll see if it happens for the club beginning Tuesday night against the Edmonton Oilers, who are looking pretty scary.
I have a question for you, and this applies to the forward group a little bit, but more so the D end. And let's say you lock a playoff spot up in the next four or five games. Do you take a chance to maybe bring up some younger guys and see what they can do in some positions? And, you know, if the trial's good, and I know you don't want to react off a small sample size and toss a guy like Heinola into a playoff series and it backfires on you, because that very well could happen. But with some of the play that we've seen on the back end, like, is that an option? Do you think, like, there's like almost a lottery ticket that this team can open and find in their back pocket that's been there for, I guess now it's been like 4 years?
No, I don't think so.
And I don't disagree with you, but in my mind now too, I'm just thinking, like, are some of these guys just lost the damaged goods at this point?
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't, by all, look, I haven't seen every Moose game, but by all accounts, it doesn't sound like Vili's lighting the world on fire to the point that it's like, we got to find a way to, you know what I mean? Like, he just got dealt the worst luck possible this year. Just brutal injury at the worst possible time. And I don't think it's going to happen for him here in Winnipeg this season for sure. But I just wonder if ever at this point. And then with the forward group, I mean, look, they desperately miss Gabe Vilardi. I mean, that's been very, very evident. Thank God the Toffoli trade happened, because this team would be
somehow
in an even worse spot if he wasn't. I mean, he's been one of the few contributors for this team over the last little while. But I mean, that's also been a pretty glaring omission from the lineup here, is missing Gabe Vilardi to be a pretty impactful piece inside that top six. You know, I do wonder as well if, especially because Cole Perfetti, finally the slump is over. The goal-scoring slump was busted on Saturday afternoon, albeit, you know, in a nothing sort of a outcome near the end of the game there. But I wonder, like, if you're talking about what could give this team a spark, like, maybe throw Perfetti up into the top six for a little bit. See if the kid can give you something that you're kind of missing right now. But I get your overall point, Tyson, of, like, looking for a spark somewhere, right? And where's that going to come from? Because it feels like this team is very comatose out there on the ice right now. And so who's going to be the one that, hey, let's crank the dial and turn this one up here? I get what you're saying. I just don't think the answer lies outside of the Jets roster right now. But I'll tell you what, not that he's to blame or anything like that, but I think the captain's going to make a bit of a statement Tuesday night. I think we're going to see the gloves come off pretty early. I don't know who's going to be the combatant, but I think Adam Lowry, I think he's well aware of the temperature of the team and maybe when and when not to set the tone, that sort of a thing. Don't be shocked if 17 makes a statement early on Tuesday.
And whenever they play the Oilers, like, they do play playoff style against the Oilers. Like, they have, like, almost an antidote for Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Yeah. I mean, they still get
there. It makes no sense. Like, right? Like, it's not like, you know, you could see Makar McKinnon, for example, going toe-to-toe with them. But then half the time, it's like Neil Pionk has shut down McDavid.
Yeah.
But it's true.
And even, like, the last time these two teams faced in Winnipeg, like, they – you could visibly see McDavid, I haven't seen him that frustrated in a long time in a game.
In the Toronto game?
No, the last one, the Oilers played the Jets.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, boy, I think it was December or January around there, but
yeah, like, he was taking runs at people.
Yeah, he really took a huge run at Lowry. Like, it was like a blind, like kind of a blindside puck was a little bit behind him, but like he gets frustrated. And so like this, you're right. This is the kind of game where the captain steps up and kind of changes the mentality, and it gets his team in a different gear. That's, I think that's the biggest problem too. This team can get into the top gear. It's just maintaining that level. It's too fluctuated. Like this is the game where you can really set your team straight and really build on a kind of gritty performance, carry that over to Vegas. Even if you lose that one, if you put in the work and have a good gritty style of game against Vegas too, you can carry that all the way to the end of the regular season into the playoffs. Like these two games are going to be massive.
Well, yeah. And the other thing, just kind of thinking about this out loud now, Tyson, is what's kind of mind-blowing to me is the lack of adjustments this team has made all season long.
It's crazy. Like,
they didn't change the power play. They were rewarded with that after the addition of Monahan. So they, you know, to give some credit to the coaching staff, they stuck with it. They were finally rewarded in terms of, hey, we think this can work. It ultimately did pay off. But the forward lines don't change all that much outside of, you know, Mark Scheifele's right winger and the second and fourth line swapping parts. The decor has remained almost exactly the same. The penalty kill is still as bad as it's ever been. And I forget who it was. Was it Frankie Corrado on TSN? I think it was him, but it was one of the analysts basically looking at the Jets' PK and throwing out the line that Andrew Kopp threw out. You know, we're just opening up a bunch of lawn chairs and sitting around. Like, it's not going to work, right? Like, it's target practice for the other team here. At what point does the coaching staff look at what's going on out there roster-wise, systematically, schematically, and say, we got to do something to get us out of this rut, because this might not be something we can just, you know, battle our way through right now. Like, there's a decent amount that the coaching staff has to shoulder, albeit in a bit of a tough spot with Bones out due to his medical issues and all that stuff. But, you know, there's a very strong case to be made that finding a way to maybe give this team a bit of a boost in terms of how they're set up could go a long way into getting individual players back at where they need to be.
Do you think sometimes a team could be too structured in a way?
Yeah.
Because like with what Frankie Corrado is saying, it kind of sounds like the Jets are trying to be in the right spot all the time. And it's you're focusing on being in that spot instead of playing the game. You know what I mean? And I wonder if that's just what's kicked in. Like, I like sometimes you just wonder, like, I mean, you don't want to be too loosey-goosey and have the puck just going the other way the whole game. But maybe sometimes with the skill that they have, you just got to let them play without sacrificing on defense when you are in the defensive zone would be a key thing. And I just wonder if there's – I don't know if it's – I don't want to say it's – I just wonder if there's differences in how the players approach the game that – kind of conflict with a structured approach. And I mean, as a coach, you have to try and teach that structured approach. And it's a fine balancing act between these two, between the players and the coaches, whether staying within yourself, staying within the system, taking your chances, taking a risk when you have to, but it's that fine line. And obviously the elite level teams have done that, like Colorado and Tampa, Vegas, and winning those cups. I just wonder if sometimes it's too, I don't want to say you're too detail oriented, but you're just overthinking where you have to be on the ice.
Like, you're thinking, but you're not reacting there in terms of, yeah, you know, I get what you're saying. I would say this, after this past three game stretch, a little more structure doesn't sound like the worst thing in the world to me.
Yeah.
But I get where you're coming from. And it's funny too, because with Edmonton coming to town, the only way to defend McDavid specifically is as a five-man unit. Like, once you start going individual, oh no, you're you're going to be on the highlight reels for the next, you know, 400 years, right? So, like, in a weird way, maybe Edmonton coming in is the perfect antidote to get this team playing that the way that they're capable of. But we'll find out. It's pretty scary. I don't know. You know, it unfortunately feels like they're locked into that third spot in the Central Division right now. Would be nice. Pick up 4 points this week and, you know, some miracle, find yourselves back and talking about home ice and things like that. But I thought this a few weeks back, and I was still confident, but it's still, please don't be like last year. Please don't be like last year, because then what's the scapegoat after that? You know what I mean? If this collapse continues, there's no PLD. There's no former captain to ship out at this point, right? Like, you're kind of
scary.
What are we as a group, right? So I don't want to have those talks. I don't want to think about that. That's scary. Yeah. That's an existential crisis I'm unwilling to have. I think lots of Jets Nation feels the same way there. So let's find a way. Slow down, McDavid. Beat up on an injured Vegas Golden Knights team. We don't have to press the panic button just yet. DEFCON 1.2 up to DEFCON 2.8.
Hey.
Or we press the button. We'll find out. Either way, we'll be along there on the ride with you guys when we get back at it later this week. That's going to do it for the episode here today. Quickly, I guess, Tyson, it won't be the episode yet. You have a prediction for what happens this week?
I think they beat Edmonton, lose to Vegas in like a 4-2 empty netter game against Vegas. And then I'll say 3-2 against Edmonton and 4-2 with an empty net against Vegas.
I'm leaning the same way. But if they lose to Edmonton, I'll be really concerned if they lose to Edmonton, knowing that Edmonton's a really good, like, you know, not saying anything like that. But that to me would just be like, unless they get goalied or something like that. Oh, man, it could get dicey really quickly. I think they're going to do just enough to get by Edmonton. But you're right. Vegas is their kryptonite. It's going to be tough to go up against that Knights team. But even if you go 1-1 this week, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
Right? That stems the bleeding a little bit. And then I think the schedule eases up a little bit for the club. But you got to find a way to get 2 points this week. And one of them has to be a win. It can't be OT losses.
Even the schedule, though, you have the Sens after the Knights, but then you got Kings, Flames, Wild, Predators, Stars, Avalanche, Kraken, Canucks to close out the year. There's a couple easy games in there, but like I'd say like about six out of the, what is it? They have 10 games left?
11, yeah.
Yeah, so I'd say like a 7 out of those last 11 games are kind of decent tests, so it'll be... We'll see how they respond.
Yeah, you want to get this figured out before that stretch of Nashville, Dallas, Colorado. And then we can see where the team is at. That's kind of the ultimate measuring point from then on there. But first order of business, find a way to take down the Oilers, who had a rough one Saturday night in Toronto. They're going to be ready to go in a big way. And then obviously the defending Cup champs, Golden Knights.
They should make Thursday. They should make, like, how sweet would the Stanley Cup be if it was gold?
What was that?
Like, if they made the Stanley Cup gold.
Oh. No. That's a bridge too far, Tyson.
Once it gets, if they kind of, they're going to start running out of material, you know, after a couple more runs, and then that's when you bring
out. They're going to run out of material?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you know how anything works?
We need
to run out of material.
From what I've heard, the Stanley Cup mine.
Wait, hold on. Wait. Time. No, stop. What do you think the Stanley Cup is made out of? Don't Google. Stop it. What do you think it's made up
silver?
Of? Okay. I don't know either, actually. I would have guessed silver. But I'm glad, like, just because the way you were going there, like, what you thought it was, like, some. It's silver and nickel. Okay, that's good. They're not going to run out of silver. They're not going to run out of stuff to make the cup. And then, so in your scenario, they're going to run out of silver, and their first reaction is, well, we'll just make it out of gold.
Make gold, the most
expensive thing we could possibly find.
Hey, I don't. Who knows where they get this from? Maybe it's like a really concentrated nickel and silver mine that's running low on resources, and they're. I don't know. I'm just. It's always good to have a backup plan. I know
you don't know.
It's always good to have a backup plan.
Okay. Well, yeah. Yeah. That's. I'm sure that's all the. Although, you know, now that you mention that, it wouldn't totally shock me if Bettman's 2025 target goal was the Coyotes stay in Arizona and we turn the Stanley Cup into gold. Like, they're both equally insane and idiotic. So maybe there is some validity.
It turns the gold member.
There's no way anybody's listening still to this right now. So you might as well just end it. If you are, you're a sicko, but I applaud you guys for sticking around here. I did not think we would end the episode going down that alley, but all right, I can get down with that. The
golden champs.
We'll send the people home happy at least. Maybe that'll change the vibes at Canada Life Center. The fans will get behind the boys' back, and they'll find a way to get 2 points against the Oilers on Tuesday. Win or loss, though, we'll be back with you guys later on this week to wrap things up. Like we mentioned there, a busy week and a couple of stiff challenges against the Oilers and Golden Knights. So we'll be back at it with you guys on Friday morning. But until then, thank you for joining us for another episode of Skates and Plates here on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki. CJOB's Tyson Rewicki with us once again. We'll be back at it Friday morning, breaking down Jets, Oilers, Jets, Golden Knights. Until then, have a great rest of your week. Enjoy the last few days of March, and let's head into April in style. Have a great one, guys. We'll talk soon. Peace.